100 episodes. I can't even believe that I've made it to 100 podcast episodes of OT for Life. And not only did I make it to this huge accomplishment, but my podcasting buddy and good friend Brock Cook over at the Occupied Podcast hit this milestone at the exact same time. So we figured, what better way to celebrate hitting 100 episodes than to sit down together and do what we do best. Talk about occupational therapy and, of course, podcasts. In today's episode, the two of us chat about our podcast journeys, we share some of our wins, and also some of our fails. I mean, some of the things we learned along the way. And let me tell you, we dive into it all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I am so, so proud of us, and I'm honored to share this accomplishment with Brock, who has been such a huge part of this journey for me. So cheers to 100 episodes, and here's to 100 more. If you're interested in occupational therapy, this is the place for you. This show aims to explore our profession by sharing who we are and what we do. Because for us, occupational therapy is more than just a job. Hi, I'm Sarah Putt. I've been an occupational therapist since 2009, specializing in early intervention and also run my own private practice in this setting. Welcome to OT for Life. Hey, Brock, how's it going today?
Not too shabby. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. And honestly, I'm just sitting here kind of in awe of I can't even believe it. I can't believe we're sitting recording episode 100 right now. What are your thoughts?
It seems ridiculous. Like it seems like yesterday that we just started, and I don't know. Still can't really believe that this is going to 100 episodes of content that we've both put out.
I feel like when I initially started, and it's not even like I had a number in mind that I thought I'd get to, but I feel like thinking like, oh, hitting like 20 episodes or hitting 30 or hitting 50 was like a huge deal. And now I'm like, holy smokes, 100? Like, that's insane. And it's only, for me, it's been just over 2 years. I know for you, it's been a little bit longer than that.
It's been about 2.5. I think I started months before you did. But yeah, just I remember, I think subconsciously, I think I was going to make it to 100. Because even when I started numbering my episodes right at the very start, from episode 1, it was always 001. So that when I hit 100, that they didn't reorder. So I don't know. Secretly, I think in there somewhere, I was like, yeah, do it. But I was happy when I put out 10. Which is more than what most people get to when they start a podcast. So I'm like, all right, let's start there and go from, see what happens.
And here we are. And I think one of the coolest parts is that you and I are hitting episode 100 at the exact same time.
That part, I think, is even more exciting for me, because I'm like, it feels like you've been there the whole time throughout this journey since I started. And then I've obviously, because I was there when you started, I kind of gave you a kick in the bum to start.
Just a little one.
Just a little one. Just a little nudge. So yeah, to be able to hit 100 episodes at exactly the same time is like the little cherry on top.
Yeah, I think a little bit of the backstory, which we might have mentioned a little bit in some of the episodes that you and I have done together, but at least on my end, I came across your show very early on. I don't think I was there for the initial launch of it, but I found you at somewhere between episode 2 and 4. Somewhere right around there. So
literally,
I feel like I've been a part of your journey since the beginning, even though you didn't even know that I existed at that point.
You just stalked me for a little bit.
I did.
That's okay. You're forgiven. That was 97 episodes ago. It's fine.
Yeah, I know. So long ago. It's so in the past.
Yeah. And then after you, you were probably the first person to actually reach out and connect because of the podcast itself. And then I remember you telling me oh, I'm going to start a podcast. I've started recording. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. How many have you recorded? How many had you recorded by that stage and not done anything with them?
15?
Yeah. So I'd been recording for 6 months and not done anything with them. And that was where I went, okay, this is where she needs a kick in the bum, because she needs to actually put some of these episodes out, because they're not helping anyone. sitting on a hard drive somewhere.
I remember I specifically recorded in April, and that would have been, what, April of 2018, because I recorded at the American Occupational Therapy Association conference. And I think I had a handful of episodes that I had actually done before that. But mind you, I didn't even release my first episode until the end of October of 2018. So yeah, I had been sitting, banking, recording, and then being afraid, hesitant, nervous, you know, all the emotions before I could even just hit go and put it out into the world.
So what was it that you were obviously very nervous and everything to put the content out? What was it that went that made you go like start a podcast, even though you were still like terrified of actually putting yourself out there? Like, what was it that sort of drove you initially to start one?
I would say there were a couple of different things that were all kind of happening at the same time. First off, I felt like I was meeting a lot of really cool practitioners within the OT space, whether it was at conferences, whether it was just in my work environment, whether it was students that were coming and doing their fieldwork rotations with me. Like, I just felt like I kept meeting all of these amazing people that were telling me these things that they were doing. And I'm like, other people need to hear about this. This is absolutely just fantastic. And I really wanted to share because like it was so inspiring for me, but I knew that other people would also be inspired by that. So there was kind of that whole aspect that was floating around that was just kind of happening organically. And then because I work in early intervention and pre-COVID days, I was driving from client house to client house, which on any given day, I was probably in the car for 3+ hours, like throughout the entire day. Some days it was longer, some days it was shorter, but I had a lot of time where I used to listen to music. And then I got into podcast. But in the beginning, when it first started, I didn't even put two and two together that there might be occupational therapy podcasts out there. I was listening to business podcasts, real estate podcasts, financial podcasts. And then I stumbled upon physical therapy podcasts. And I was like, yes, these are awesome, but it's PT, it's not OT. So then, of course, I went down the rabbit hole of like trying to figure out, are there OT podcasts out there? Who's out there? What are they talking about? And at this point in time, when I was doing this research, there were not that many OT podcasts on the map. And mind you, this was probably close to 3 years ago, maybe even before that.
It's probably before I even started.
Yes. Yeah, you had not started. And I remember just kind of sitting there and I'm like, we need more. Like, there's hundreds of physical therapy podcasts. There's hundreds of speech therapy podcasts. Like, why are there so little OT podcasts out there? And then that kind of planted the seed of like, well, we need more. I don't know if I can do this, but we definitely need more. And then the other tidbit, I guess, that was kind of happening with me was really kind of this internal thing that I've been kind of going through my entire life. I grew up incredibly shy, and I've always been trying to work on improving my public speaking and just getting more comfortable talking to people and sharing my voice and putting my voice out there. So I kind of just sat down. I was probably driving one day. It was probably during work. And I was like, okay, I'm meeting all these really cool OT practitioners and students that I want to share their story. We need more representation of occupational therapy podcasts in the podcasting space. And I want to work on my own personal journey of kind of using my voice and putting my voice out there. Why don't I just start? And so I did.
Eventually.
Still took me a while, but I did it.
So we're both, I guess you'd call it soft, the art and science of podcasting. Along with that comes a lot of lessons learned. So what was say one of the biggest things that you might have stuffed up during or podcast learning how to podcast?
I feel like to start, like there's always something. There's always something that happens and mm-hmm. you kind of have to expect the unexpected every single time, even if you've done it 100 episodes. You and I were still troubleshooting stuff at the very beginning of this recording. But my biggest mishap or learning experience
would have been
the very first episode I ever recorded. Yes. Shout out to Laura Park Figueroa on that one. So I had my guest. I was prepared, quote unquote, I was prepared. I had no idea what I was doing at that point because this was episode one, but I signed on with my guest. I had my list of questions. I had my tech, you know, I had my mic. I have all this stuff. I thought I was ready. We go, we do the interview, and afterwards, it's like, okay, we're done. We made it through. I like wipe my brow. I'm like, phew, okay, I did it. Like first one's in the bag. And then I go to just double check the audio. There was nothing there.
Oh, hadn't worked, or you hadn't hit record, or what?
The video was there, but for whatever reason, I still don't know exactly to this day what I did. I don't know if the audio was coming in somewhere else and it just didn't pick up the audio. But we had the video. The video had no sound and there was no separate audio anywhere. Yeah.
Oh, that's like podcaster's worst nightmare.
On episode one? Yeah. For me, it was challenging because like what I had just mentioned, that I was already kind of putting myself out there and already kind of overcoming a lot of these internal shyness and imposter syndrome and kind of disbelief that I could do it anyway. And then all of a sudden I'm like, and I freaking messed up the very first episode. Podcasting is about audio and I couldn't even get the audio bit.
I can definitely sympathize. I've had very similar experiences. I had a very similar experience like last week, where I was in the middle of recording. So for a bit of clarity, so my recording setup's a little bit different to Sarah's, where mine kind of records in two places. There's the main hardware recorder that I use, but then I've also got like Zoom records as kind of a backup. I hadn't hit record on my hardware recorder, which is where I usually pull my audio from. And Zoom, rather than pulling the audio from my microphone, was pulling it from my webcam. So it sounded like I was in a fish tank for the first half of the episode before I realized like, hey, that thing's not recording. The little record light's not on. And I started recording, I think it was about half an hour into a 2-hour session or something. Not that the episode will be that long, but there's a large chunk of it that, yeah, I went from being in a fish tank to sounding like this. So it's quite a difference. That episode hasn't actually come out yet. It won't have come out before this one. So I'll see if anyone can actually work out, because I've worked a little bit of magic on it. We'll see if anyone can actually work out which episode they think it is. It'll be within the next 10 episodes. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. There's always ways around things, obviously, unless you don't have the audio at all. There's not really much you can do with that. That's very hard to edit.
There's no way around that one.
No. But sound quality things, and sound quality is a thing that I know we both take very seriously. It's important if you've got, it's kind of like Maslow's. I see podcasting as like a Maslow's type thing where you've got content, you've got actually just getting the audio. And then as you go up, you get to things like sound quality. So yes, it's more important that you actually record with whatever you've got, and it's more important that the content itself is really good. But then once you've got those two sort of basic needs, quote-unquote, done, then I think audio quality is up there with what needs to come next. And then before, you know, fancy editing and all of that sort of stuff is your audio quality, because, like I said, no one wants to listen to someone for an hour or half an hour or even 10 minutes if you sound like you're underwater or in a fishbowl or anything like that. Like, no one wants to. It's not entertaining. I don't care how good your content is. Then it becomes an issue. So, yeah, unfortunately, we are human. So even though yours happens on episode one, mine happens on episode whatever it's going to be after 100, we still have these little mistakes that we just like to keep ourselves on our toes, I think.
Completely. I mean, there's always something that we have to figure out, whether it is some sort of audio or sound or video or connection. I mean, I've had times where I haven't even been able to connect with my guest before. This was back when I was not using Zoom. I was using a different recording, a different Zoom video
thing, like Skype kind of.
Yeah,
different Skype. One.
So you can't really record a podcast if you can't even connect with your guest to start with. So, I mean, yeah, it is. It's just constant learning. It's constant improving. It's constant tweaking. You know this. Like, you get a new mic or you get some fancy new tech gadget because you're all about that. And it's just, you do. And just kind of figuring it out and seeing what works and seeing what doesn't work. And you try something and it's like, oh, that sounded great. Or I really like that. Okay, I'm going to keep doing that. Or that didn't work as well. All right, I'm going to squash that for the next one and try something else. But it is, it's a constant learning process. And I honestly think that just ties right into occupational therapy. What we're doing on a daily basis, working with our clients, working with patients, like constantly kind of learning and figuring out and tweaking and adjusting for each client and each circumstance and diagnosis and all that kind of stuff. So there's, I would say there's a lot of overlap between podcasting and also working as an occupational therapy practitioner.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It's a lifelong learning pursuit.
So in kind of reflecting about the learning process and everything that you and I have gone through starting and then running and kind of continuing a podcast, what would you say are some of the biggest things that you've learned throughout this entire journey?
So much. There's obviously like the hard skills of, you know, audio editing and audio engineering and all that sort of stuff that you learn throughout the process, obviously, unless you're outsourcing, which neither of us do. I know some podcasters do, but I don't know about you, but for me, learning how to do that stuff was like part of the fun. So that's what I actually enjoyed, is sort of that tech side of it. So there's definitely those skills. On terms of personal, I think being able to build rapport, communicate, I think it's been a really good exercise in improving those skills. Also, and I know I still do it a lot, but I don't do it nearly as much as I used to, but filler words. Because oh, yes. When you edit your own voice talking, you realize how often you say ums, ahs, yeah, okay.
You know, right?
You know was another one. There I go again. I do say that a lot. That's my thinking noise.
I had 75 in my first actual recorded episode that I put out. I had 75 you knows before I stopped counting.
Oh, that you said.
That I said. That wasn't my guest. That was all me. Back in the day, I would actually hand write my like preparation notes and all of that kind of stuff. And so I was making all these edits because I didn't quite know how to edit at that point.
Yep.
And so it was like minute 101, you know, minute 113, you know, all the way up to 75.
Wow. So I've actually had one guest who asked if I could remove some of, I can't remember what the word was. I don't think it was but it was something. It was a filler word of some sort. It might have even been, you know. And asked if I could take out some of them if possible. And I hadn't realized at the time when we were recording, like how often they were saying it until I went to edit it and I removed 160 something within, I think it was about an hour and a bit episode, and that wasn't even all of them. There were some that was like so entangled with other words that I couldn't really take them out, but I was like, wow, that took a really long time to edit, and it came out well. I don't think I would again. Another challenge for the listeners. If you can work out which episode that actually was, then I've failed as an editor, but it came out. The content was too good not to put out. So yeah, there's certain challenges, and that's something that after doing that I'm like, yeah, I'm not ever doing that again. That took like hours sifting through audio and trying to like cut waveforms and reduce noises, and yeah, it was a mission, but it was all worth it in the end. It's all a learning experience,
right? Back to that.
Yeah,
anything else that you feel like you've learned?
There's also I guess the individual things that I learn from my guests, which is massive. I tend to now, I think originally when I first started, I would shy away from a lot of sort of difficult topics when what I should have been doing, and that is something that I aim to do and I try and do now, is dive head on into things. Mm-hmm. So like I've had some topics that personally really challenge me. There was the episode that I did with Dev around use of proper pronouns and that kind of stuff and how that actually works and why it's a thing. There was the episode that I did with Tirupa and Jody around colonization of healthcare systems, etc., within an Australian context. So there's episodes like that that challenge what I know, stuff that I don't know much about. So a lot of the episodes I do try and get stuff because that's interesting to me is stuff that I don't know about. Like there's no point, there's a point for other people, but there's no point for me in about a lot of stuff that I already know because, I mean, that would be boring for me, which would then probably be boring for everyone else. So yeah, I like to use the episodes as learning opportunities and see what I can take out of each individual episode. I know that you do the same thing because you've actually started posting episodes with your learnings in them. So it's very obvious that you're learning things from your episodes as well.
Every single one. I like literally said this. I recorded yesterday with somebody. And at the end, I was like, I don't know if you caught this, but I was speechless a lot of the time that you were talking because I was literally processing everything that she was saying and everything that she was sharing. And I was drawing these massive lines between, even though we were on a very focused topic, I could make all these connections to things that were way broader than that. And I know like when we were talking, I'm like, she's probably like, why is Sarah not responding right now? And it's because literally my brain was just going a million miles a minute, thinking and reflecting about all of everything that was like happening in that moment. And I learned something from every single episode that I do. And yeah, you're totally right. Like I would say maybe six to seven months ago, I started doing kind of like takeaway episodes where I just kind of share my feedback of what I learned, what resonated with me, what broader kind of connections that I made. And it's just a way that I kind of share what I took away, but I know everybody kind of takes away different things from each episode and different things that are said, the different guests, the different topics and all that kind of stuff. But not only from a host lens of learning from my guests, but also from a podcast consumer listening to other OT podcasts, I have learned so much because people will bring on guests and talk about topics that I'm like, I didn't even know that this existed, or I didn't realize so many people were working on this, or I didn't realize that this could be an emerging practice area or something like that. So it the learning kind of goes like twofold of like me when I'm talking to my guests, but then also when I listen to say your show, Brock, and I'll sit there and be like, wow, like that's so cool. I've never heard of this person before. I've never heard of the work that they're doing, but I'm like, give me more, right? Like just, I want to hear it all. So it really does just kind of go back to that learning process.
And I think that kind of ties into what I was thinking next was part of that, I guess, continually trying to find new people that you want to learn off and stuff. Like it can be a challenge sometimes. There's a lot of people that I've had a lot of people approach me about like, oh, can I be on the show with things? And I'm like, I have no issue with it, but like what you want to talk about is either stuff that I've covered with other people or stuff that is not relevant to anything that I'm interested in, which presents a challenge where you're like, am I doing this because I enjoy it or am I only doing it for other people? And I think that's one of the hardest things that I've found is essentially telling people, I'm sorry, but that's anything that's really overly interesting to me or anything that I want to learn about or something that I don't already know about or am not very familiar with. So that's been a hard part, but I'm thinking about what do you think might be, or what was for you, I remember this part of your journey, what was the hardest part of said of starting a podcast? But then also we've seen a lot of podcasts that start but don't really go anywhere after that. So what was the hardest part of starting initially, but then also what was something that was difficult to, how do you keep going? How do you continue making a podcast to 100 episodes?
Well, definitely it goes back to the whole kind of being shy and being afraid of using my voice and putting my voice out there. That was hands down in the beginning, that was the hardest thing for me to really overcome. And that took a lot of work on my part. And that took a lot of support actually from my friends and my family of people being like, no, you need to share this. This is good, right? Like, you need to put this stuff out there. And I'm like, I don't know, who wants to listen to me? Yada, yada. All these other people are so much better than me. You know, that whole imposter syndrome stuff. But like, first and foremost, yeah, really overcoming the hurdle of putting my voice out there was the hardest. And then I think the second part of your question is like, continuing to do it. For me, I feel like the passion really has to be there. And I think maybe not so much in the OT space, but it just in podcasting in general, a lot of people are like, I'm going to start a podcast, but they don't really pick something that they're passionate about. And then 10, 15 episodes in, they're kind of like, hey, I'm sick of talking about this topic. For me, I love talking about occupational therapy. I love learning from people, right? When we were just talking about, and really kind of diving into topics, into concepts, into research, into things that maybe I haven't come across in my practice yet, or maybe I've heard about it, but I just really don't know all that much about it, or it's a different practice area that I've never worked in before. And so really, I think it's that passion piece that pushes me and kind of drives me to continue. And I think one of the hard parts about podcasting in general is we put a lot of work into each episode that we put out, whether it's the preparation, whether it's the actual recording, whether it's the post-production. And a lot of the times we don't get a lot of feedback. We might get an occasional message here and there, but we pour our heart and soul into each episode, and it's very rare that we get feedback on it. And I think in the beginning that was hard, because I'd sit there and be like, I just spent 20 hours or 30 hours working on this one episode, because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And in the beginning, it took me a long time to do them. Not anymore. God. Not anymore. But back when I first started, yes.
Nearly a full-time job just to make an episode.
When I was handwriting out my, you knows, at and timestamps, yes, it took a long time. But I think that was really hard of like, I put in all this effort and I'm not getting any feedback. Why am I even doing this?
Yeah.
And that being said, it ties back into that passion piece. I am passionate about what I'm doing. Hopefully people enjoy what I'm doing and they're getting value out of it, even if I don't hear it. But I had to overcome that hurdle of like, hopefully people still like it, even though I'm not getting the feedback that I was hoping that I'd be receiving in the beginning. And just really going back to like, what is your why? Why are you doing this? Who are you doing this for? Like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something I can definitely relate to. And you're right, you don't get a lot of feedback a lot of the time. It feels like a one-way street where all the traffic's going out and there's not much coming in. But the feedback that I have received has usually been amazing. And, you know, people have reached out around certain topics. They've given their opinion on certain things that I've posted or that my guest has said. They've shared some phenomenal stories. There's been so many stories about how the podcast and other podcasts have like helped them in some way. Like I've had stories of people that were, you know, I've sort of lost my way with the profession a bit and then found Occupied and a few other podcasts, and you know, it re-inspired me about OT itself, kind of thing. Like, I'm not trying to like, I feel bad saying that kind of stuff out loud because it feels like I'm tooting my own horn, but that's the emails that we get. That's the messages that we get sometimes. And that, when you get that, even though you don't get a lot of feedback, but I guess the high impact of the messages that I do receive sometimes, yeah, you might get one a month and it's like, it's worth it. Like, I remember from the very start, and I don't know whether it was, I think this was more of a coping mechanism, my imposter syndrome when I first started, but I'd always said, like, man, if 10 people listen to this, I'll be happy. And I've always said, and I've said this to you a few times, like, if one person takes something away from an episode, then success. Like, I already get what I get from it when I'm recording it. When I'm initially having those conversations with people, or if it's an episode that's just me, then it's, you know, the reflection that I've on whatever it is, whether it's SMART goals or OT memes or whatever it is that I'm raging about at that point in time. The reflection process for me is like, that's what I get the value from. So by the time the episode's gone out, I've already got from it what I need to get from it personally. So if someone else, one other person gets something from it, whatever it is, whether it's good, bad, it makes them think, anything at all. If one person gets something from it, then to me, that's worth the effort. So I've had people go, oh, you've set your sights so low. And I'm like, no, it's just, that's just realistic. Like, that's what I don't know. That's just how I think. I'm not trying to like downplay what the podcast has done or the impact it may have had on someone and that kind of stuff. But that's not, I'm not aiming to, I'm going to reach every OT in the profession worldwide kind of thing. Like, that's not what it's for. The podcast, I mean, it's a hobby. One, I have no interest in, even though I have been approached a number of times by different individuals about monetizing and selling ads. And I'm like, it's not, to me, that's not what it's about. And that's not specifically for Occupied. That's not the kind of, I guess, it doesn't fit what Occupied is. And I know there's other podcasts that aren't. I got nothing against, you know, monetizing your podcast if that's what you want to do. But because it started as a hobby, it very much is a passion project. I think, I don't know, it just never fit with what I wanted from that specific podcast. And I think that was a hard journey of trying to navigate at the start too, was like actually working out, what is this podcast? Like, what is it? What is its ethos? What is its mission? What is it? What am I aiming to get out of it? What am I aiming to do with it? Is actually sitting down and consciously thinking about, well, what is this? What is the mission?
Going back to the messages that we have received. Now, yes, I did say that we don't get much. And while that is true, the messages that I have received, and this is something that when I started podcasting, I was not anticipating this to happen. This was not one of my reasons, like one of my reasons of why or anything like that. But I agree. I've had messages from people that said, I was about to leave the profession. I was about to switch and do something else because I was so burnt out from doing occupational therapy. And I stumbled upon your podcast and, you know, potentially some others, and it reinvigorated my passion for the profession. And I just remember when I got that first message of somebody saying that, and I was like, wow, I had no idea that I could have, that my show could have this impact on somebody. And then I'd get another one and it was similar. And then I get another one and I'm just like, hey, this is not what I was anticipating with the show, but if it can help the five people that have sent me this message, I'm like, my day is made. My year is made. My 100 episodes so far are made, because I think there is a lot of burnout. I think there are a lot of negative things that happen within our profession that it's tricky. It's hard. It's hard being an occupational therapy practitioner. And to be a reason that we didn't lose an amazing practitioner to another profession, I'm just like, yeah, that's, I don't know. That just gives me all the chills. It gives me all the feels right there. So I completely resonate when you mentioned about the messages that you have received, because that's really one of the things that pushes me to kind of keep going and know that I might not hear everything, but the ones that do reach out are very, very, like, extremely, incredibly meaningful and purposeful in my eyes.
I think also one of the, kind of on the flip side of that, is one of the weird things, and I think because podcasting is generally such a one-way street, one of the weird things for me was at our last,
I know what you're gonna say,
national conference, having people like come up to you in person and go, hey, I listened to your podcast. And I'm like, that just feels so awkward. I'm like, you know things about me and I have never met you before. And I mean, obviously that's the nature of podcasting, but it just, for the a couple moments, it's like, I don't really know what to do with this. I don't know how to process this. So that's, I mean, it was nice. I didn't hate it, but it was just something that I'd never really thought about it before, that like the people that are listening, because on our end, we get numbers. We get like, oh, this many downloads. They don't even call them people. This many downloads happen on a certain episode or within a certain time frame or whatever it is. And when that finally, when you're able to have an experience like that where those downloads, quote unquote, turn into people in your head, it's like, oh, they're actually people listening to, you know, you talk to such and such or me ramble on about something. That's it's a weird feeling.
I think that just goes to like the intimacy of podcasting. when I myself am listening to a podcast, I usually have my headphones in and I'm going for a walk or a run or I'm doing something around the house. And you're literally between the person's ears and speaking to them. You're speaking directly to them. And I've had people do the same thing and they come up and they're like, I feel like you're one of my really good friends. And I'm like, I just met you. Like, tell me about yourself. Like, I want to meet you now. But yeah, like, yeah. And I know that I'm like the same way with the podcast that I listen to religiously. Even if I've never connected with the host before, I feel like I know them really well because I listen to them every week or twice a week or once a month, whatever it is, however often it comes out. And you feel like they're like one of your friends. Like, you're sitting there, even though you're a part of the conversation, you're just not having the conversation with them, but you feel like you're just like sitting around the fire and having a conversation with some of your closest and best friends there. So yeah, that's also been kind of an interesting thing to navigate because of starting the podcast for sure.
So what was your, and I like how you described this conversation. So what was your most listened to intimate conversation that you've had? Or was it a conversation or was it just you?
No, it was definitely a conversation. It was an interview and it was my 48th episode. And it was actually the interview that I did with Laura Pettix from the OT Butterfly. And the title of it, just in case anybody's curious to check it out, it's called Sensory Integration and the Transformation from Clinic to Home. So basically, Laura and I had this whole conversation about her work as a clinic-based therapist and really focused on how we can kind of carry over, how we can make that jump from working in the clinic to also having an impact in the kiddos that she was working with in the home. And yeah, that has been my number one most downloaded episode for many, many months. So actually it might be close to a year at this point. So yeah, people like it. They like the pediatric clinic-based sensory integration chat that I had. What about you, Brock? What is your most downloaded episode?
Most downloaded ones, I mentioned it actually before, was my chat with Bo Ritchie and Jodie Booth around unpacking colonized thinking within fashion. And I feel like the timing of that particular episode may have helped that because at the time, and it should be an ongoing thing, but at the time was that kind of stuff was very much almost in the news as well as sort of therapist minds. So that was about 6 months before that episode. I was at our national conference and had was in a workshop that Tirupa was running around that exact topic. And I think it was called Explore, something to do with my whiteness, or not my, but whiteness. Exploring whiteness or something like that. And I found it very confronting and it was meant to be. That was the whole point of it. But I was like, oh, like I need to learn more about this. And it turns out that Tirupa was well connected with a friend of mine, Jodie, Jodie put that together, that connected us. And then, yeah, we recorded that episode and it was just... Tirupa has to be probably one of the most well-read OTs I've ever met, has quotes for everything, knows all of the research around the topics that he talks about, has read all of the books, is very, very good at formulating a very well-educated opinion. And that's the kind of stuff, like, they're the people that I like to learn from because it's not just them giving their opinion. Which, yes, like I asked him for his opinion on certain things, but it's very research-backed and very well-educated. And that's what also helped that episode because it's, for some people, they can find that a challenging topic. And having, I think, a lot of the research backing and not just someone come on and go, you're bad and here's why, which is what I think a lot of Western white Australian people are actually afraid of in when actually discussing those topics, help. And yeah, it was a really interesting, you know, I've listened to it a number of times back now and there's still little things that I pick up during the conversation when I re-listen to it every now and then. So, yeah, that was the 22nd of January last year, 2020. So right before the world tanked. that episode came out, and it's been my top episode, top downloaded episode since then. But having a look at even the top 10, a lot of mine to be, well, there's kind of a mix. Like, there's no pattern. I can't, because I often, it's how I think, I often look for patterns in things. And I've noticed patterns, like, on terms of time of year and downloads and that kind of stuff. For me, anyway, I don't think they fit everyone. But look at the top 10. Like, it's not like, I thought maybe the top ones might be those more challenging episodes. And yes, there's a couple of them in there. I've also had thoughts in the past that the episodes might that relate to students might do better. Yes, there's a couple of them in there, but there's such a broad mix. There's even a couple of, like, my monologue where it's just me talking rather than interviews. So I can't see any pattern in the top 10. It's just what appeals to people at that point in time, I guess.
Same. Like, I literally just pulled mine up as you were talking, and I'm like, I wonder, I should look for trends in my top 10. And I was thinking originally, before I looked at it, I'm like, oh, I bet there's going to be a lot of pediatric in there, because I, being a pediatric therapist, I've done a lot of pediatric episodes, and I have three, like the top one, and then I have one on early intervention, and I have one with helping kids with autism. Like, and that's the only three pediatrics. Then I have one about collaboration, interprofessional collaboration. I have one about diversity. I have one about confidence. I have one about going from OT school to being a new grad. I have one about acquired brain injury and working in the prisons. Like, there's no trend. There is no theme with any of those that are in my top 10 right now. But I want to know, Brock, because earlier you mentioned how that episode that you did was actually one of your more challenging episodes for you yourself, yes, personally, probably professionally too, and as well as just being a podcast host. How does it make you feel that that is your top downloaded episode, knowing that it was a hard one to prepare for and record and probably listen back to and hear some of the things that you have said during the actual episode? Like, do you have, what are your reflections from that?
Good question. I don't find it particularly hard to listen back to. I found initially getting my head around, essentially it was me trying to get my head around, like, a whole other, that particular episode, a whole other culture's perspective on something that I had kind of just taken for granted, which was, like, OT and healthcare and the impact that it has on people. And it was, so that was and still continues to be something that I try and work on and try and get better at all the time. I think listening back, it's more little tidbits and stuff, and I guess reconfirming things that I learned when I first had that conversation, or even further back when I first did the workshop with Tirupa. On terms of how you manage it on the day, I think those kinds of topics are things that you go into prepared to be challenged. Like, there's stuff I know I don't know anything about. I'm well aware of how limited, because I think OT is so broad, and then you add other topics that impact on OT, like that one, on top of that, like the breadth of topic, massive within this profession or for this profession. So I think there's so much that I don't know, and I'm well aware of that. And that's partly why I do the podcast, is for my own learning. That's a big part of it, actually. So I go into those conversations with genuine curiosity. It's not something that, I think if that kind of conversation was, like, sprung on you, it might have an impact on you, but I can't even really see how that would happen. Not for a podcast anyway, especially if you're the one organizing the people to come in with you, which, you know, I don't know how you'd be surprised by that. Although it has happened once, but that's a different topic. I think because I was organizing that conversation, or wanting to have that conversation, for the purpose of challenging myself, because challenging myself is how I learn. I had the same sort of experience when I brought Dev on to talk about pronouns and the impact that that can have on people of diverse genders, or even anyone really. That was another conversation I brought Dev on because he'd been on your show before. He'd been on a couple other podcasts. I can't remember off the top of my head which ones. And I kind of had a rough idea of how that worked, like the pronoun thing worked, but I wasn't really clear. And Dev was a friend before we did that episode, and I'm like, what better person to challenge me and teach me how it works, and we'll share that learning experience. So yeah, I still get messages from people like quoting things that I've said where I stuffed up what I think you used to do it all the time. where I stuffed up Dev's pronouns during the episode, which is fine. I appreciate it because it means that people are listening to it and they're actually listening out for the pronouns, which is also good. But I've had people like, why didn't you like fix this or why didn't you re-record it? I'm like, but that's not the point. The point like that, what you're listening to isn't me changed person. What you're listening to is me going through a learning experience, and it's not like the Matrix. You don't just download information and you know it. Like, you learn things and then you have to try and implement them. And sometimes implementing things that you've at that stage been doing for saying or thinking for 30 something years, it takes a while to get your head around that and to change it. And that was like step one right there. What you're listening to when you listen to that episode is step one. And that's the same with the colonized thinking episode. It was something that I didn't know much about until I'd done that workshop. I didn't even realize how big an issue it is in Australia specifically, because that was the context we were in. And I'm sure that there are things that I engage in, systems that I am a part of, and even some words that I might use that still play into that narrative, that negative narrative. But what you are listening to when you hear that episode is, well, for that one, it's kind of stage two because I'd already done the workshop with Dirpa. So, but it's part of the learning process. I even now, I'm far and away not even close to perfect and knowing everything about that topic that I can avoid it or fix it or remedy it or even advocate as well as I'd like to against it, or it, depending on which side you're thinking about. But yeah, you get my gist. But like, it's part of the learning process. So I think putting out that I don't think podcasts need to be super polished and informative. That's why we have textbooks. If you want to learn just the hard knowledge and this is exactly how things are, blah, 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 go and read a text. For me, podcasts are more about the experience. And yes, for some time, some people, it's about interviewing them and getting their experience of whatever. So I've done a few interviews where it's not with OTs, it's with someone with a lived experience of, for most of the episodes that I've done on that, it's usually some sort of mental health diagnosis. So it's their lived experience, and that's a valuable learning tool. For those couple of episodes, it's my lived experience of learning this new challenge, this thing that's challenging me as an individual. So yeah, I feel like a lot of the value I get from podcasts and a lot of the value I try and put into podcasts is the experience, not just the raw information. Because otherwise you can make a blog post about that. You can read a textbook, or I can just send you a list of references. Experience is, I feel, the more valuable thing that you can get through podcast episodes. And I feel like I've just gone the longest ever way of answering that question. I'm not even sure if I answered it.
You did.
Okay, good.
And I want to dig in a little bit deeper on this kind of shared learning experience, because that really stands out to me. And I really think that that's one of the biggest things that I've learned about myself throughout this whole podcasting journey. I feel like in the beginning, I had this belief that like I needed to know more than I did, and I needed to come out and I needed to be able to show that. And over the 2+ years that I've been podcasting and now 100 episodes in, I've realized that it's not about me knowing everything. There's no way that I can know everything about everything in occupational therapy. Like there is no way. I have my experience. I have my background. I have my journey. I have everything that has led me up until that point that I'm hitting record with that guest. And it really has kind of become more of me learning to embrace what I don't know going into that episode and during the episode and even after the episode, because things will come up afterwards that people are like, well, why did you say that? Or that was an interesting thing. Let's talk about it a little more. And I'm like, whoa, okay, hold on. Like, I need to think about that. And it's really not feeling like we need to know everything, but actually allowing the learning process to happen. And for example, like this just happened yesterday with the guest that I was recording with. We had a little kind of pre-interview chat, which I will do with some of my guests just to kind of lay out the format and just kind of like see what we want to talk about. And the topic that we were talking about was limb differences. And right when we started the call, I asked my guest, I was like, hey, I want to make sure that I am using the appropriate language. I'm using inclusive language that promotes positivity. And I don't want to be negative. I don't want to come across as rude or anything like that. So like, how should I be addressing when we are talking about limb loss and limb differences? And we had this whole conversation about it. And then we went on to, you know, talk about the show and all that kind of stuff. That was a week before we recorded. And then I'm like sitting there as I'm kind of preparing for the show. And I'm like, if I have this question, I bet other people have this exact same question. How do we address working with this population? Now, in this episode, yes, it was about limb differences, but you could literally take that out and put in anything else, any other different topic when we're talking about the importance of language. And so I told my guest when we got on right before we recorded, and I said, hey, I know we've already talked about this, but I realized the importance of sharing my journey, sharing my experience of like, I actually don't really know how to reference this population. I'm going to ask this question and you can tell me what you've already told me, because I think other people can get value from that. I think that's just so important for us as hosts, but also for practitioners and students that are listening, that we don't need to know everything, but we have to be willing to ask in a non-threatening, non-demeaning way, but ask to learn and ask to kind of understand. And it's just been one of those things that I've really kind of learned throughout this process to just start to embrace about myself and be okay with not knowing everything. What would you say, Brock, have you learned about yourself throughout this journey of podcasting?
A lot. I think another thing that kind of discovered about myself is similar to what you were just saying there, that it's okay not to know everything, and it's okay to make mistakes while you're learning something. And that's something that some of those more challenging episodes have made me realize, is that for a lot of people, I think conversations like that, they won't have them, or they'll avoid them, or they won't put them out if they are recording them, say for a podcast, because they're afraid of how they're going to be judged on how they handle it, or what if I say something wrong and that kind of stuff. And that's, it's going to happen. Like, you're going to say something wrong. And
more than once.
Yeah, I still do it. But it's about what you do with that information afterwards. And it, like you said, it's part of the learning process. And you need to, I guess, give yourself a little bit of grace. And you're not justifying like a wrong behavior by doing that. You're simply giving yourself some space to be able to learn better. It's okay to stuff things up if you're trying to learn. If you're just justifying your shitty behavior, then that's a bit different. But if you're like, oh, okay, damn it, I stuffed up. And I say with the pronoun thing, Dev's called me out on a number of times since that episode, on various times when I've incorrectly used either his or other people's pronouns. And no, I understand that someone's going to call me out because of what I just said. But if you look up Dev, he actually uses both now, so that's okay. Yeah, so, and that's part of the learning process for me. Like, and I think that's one of the reasons why with some of those more challenging topics that they're just not spoken about very often, is because people are too afraid to give themselves the grace to actually learn about it. And that's what you need to do. Like, that's what we need to do to have some of those more challenging conversations with not just podcasts, but just with people in general. We need to be a little bit forgiving during the learning process. Not saying that we need to forgive behaviors overall, but during that learning process, if a person is actively trying to make changes and to learn new things, then give them a little bit of leeway, assist them, help them, call them out, ask them how you can help them. That's probably one of the biggest things I've learned, is more around how those, I guess, to be confident enough to admit that I'm going to make mistakes and it's part of my learning, and be nice to me.
That's okay.
Don't pick on me.
You want to know something else that we both learned recently about each other, ourselves, and this came up in our last roundtable recording.
I don't know where this is going yet. No, I'm curious now.
That you and I have, according to the Myers-Briggs,
oh, yes.
Myers-Briggs personality test, you and I have the exact same personality type, which if people know us, you probably wouldn't think that on the surface level. And Michelle, our other co-host on the OT Roundtable podcast, was like, what? You guys are the same personality?
That kind of blew her mind as well.
Yes. Because there's a lot of differences, I feel like, at least in how we maybe show our personalities. But then when we actually talked about like what the components are and what we are, I'm like, oh, I can totally see that.
We are same, same, but different.
Yes. Yeah. So that's another thing I learned about us through this process.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. We are commanders. We are ENTJs, just in case anybody's curious.
You can look that up and then you'll know us better than we knew each other, apparently.
Yep.
So what changes have you seen with OT podcasts in general? So obviously when you started, and there was very few, I'm not sure, there probably was only one or two when you first started looking into if there was OT podcasts. I know when I started Occupied, I think there might have been like three OT podcasts out there, and they all seem to be about like specific client groups or specific topics. There was nothing really broad, which is kind of one of the reasons why I started Occupied. But now there's a million. I don't know. There's a lot. What are some of the changes you think or that you've seen within OT podcasts since we started in the same year. So I'm just going to say since we started.
Yeah. I feel like when I started, there might have been like five. So of course, if there were three when you started, then there was four and then maybe like one more added in before I started. And I think generally speaking, there's been a massive increase in the number of occupational therapy podcasts out there, which is fantastic. Like, that's amazing, right? The more the merrier. And I think it's all about kind of lifting others and really kind of putting occupational therapy on the map. And the more that we can talk about it, the more that we can get our voices out there about who we are and what we do. Like, that's amazing. And that's just fantastic. I think another big thing I've noticed is a lot more student-run podcasts where students are doing it either part of their academic program or they're doing it just because they are passionate about it and they want to start talking about OT. And so, yes, there are a lot more practitioners that are hosting podcasts, but there's also a lot of students that are doing it as well. And I think even just over maybe the last 6 to 10 months, there's been quite an increase in just the diversity of the voices that are coming out and practice areas and topics that they're talking about too. So while both you and I, we kind of have very broad podcasts where we talk about anything and everything related to occupational therapy, there are some very specific topic-based podcasts that have been coming out that I'm just like, yeah, like this totally needs to be there. Like there's one and she's been doing it a couple months now and it's about teletherapy. And I'm like, yes, like teletherapy and OT, that's definitely something that needs to be talked about here. So I don't know. It's cool because that was one of the reasons I started the podcast because there were no OT podcasts. And now I feel like every month we are coming across somebody that's starting one or a new one that's kind of popped on the radar. And I really just think showing the diversity of the profession and like kind of the breadth and the scope that we can do as OTs and hearing about that on a podcast platform is really, really cool. Is there anything that you've noticed kind of generally speaking about OT podcasts over the past 2.5 years?
Yeah, I think very similar to you. There's definitely a lot more student-led ones. I've seen a number of them. Like I was looking the other day, and there was like four or five that seemed to all be from the same course. Like it was part of their coursework or something. There's a lot more. I wonder whether that has anything to do with just the accessibility and the popularity of podcasts in general increasing. And it's a fairly accessible medium at a basic level. To make a podcast and put a podcast out, like if you wanted to do just that and nothing more, costs you nothing. You can do it on your phone. It is a very accessible medium if you want to get your voice out there any which way. The growth in OT podcasts, I think, has been interesting. I kind of break it down into two periods where there was a time not long after we both started where there was quite a number of OT podcasts that started at the same time where they seem to be, there's quite a large percentage of those ones that are still running. Now, there's a more recent time period where there's been a lot started that don't seem to be running anymore. They've put out two or three episodes and then disappeared. I don't know whether that's because it was for coursework and they didn't actually want to do it or anything like that. But from that sort of initial period, like, we kind of put together a bit of a OT podcaster community, which has been really cool. It's been, it's a really supportive sort of group. And we would, whenever we found an OT podcast and we could track down, this is on Facebook, we have a group, whenever we could track down the host or whoever was running that particular show and could bring them into that group as well, it was a place where OT podcasters could support each other. And bring each other up and answer questions, because everyone's got different skills and ideas and, you know, thoughts on guests and thoughts on audio and equipment and quality and editing and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, there's different things that happened. So there was one issue that I had where after a Mac update, the program that I was using to edit just stopped working. So that was a place where you could have those conversations and make everyone else aware, like, don't do the update yet if you use Audacity.
Haven't done it yet.
No, you still haven't done it. That was like 2 years ago.
Only a year. I will. I just still, yeah, I haven't done it yet.
So, like, building that community was something that I didn't foresee. That was one thing at the very start. I never foresaw that being part of the journey. I'm definitely glad that it is, because I've met some phenomenal OTs just because they have other podcasts and we've connected over that sort of mutual occupation, so to speak. So, yeah, there's a lot of changes. I find there's quite a few podcasts now coming out where the audio quality is really good, where back in the day, some of the newer podcasts, including this one, including Occupied, I listened back to my first episode and I'm like, it sounds like you are recording in a public restroom. It sounds horrible. Like, the audio quality is terrible. If you listen to the Occupied version of this episode, the very first clip in the intro is from that first episode. If you're wondering why it sounds like trash, it was a throwback. So, yeah, and that's part of the learning process, has been improving that. But, yeah, I feel like audio quality overall, and maybe it's because, you know, people are still just recording on their phones, but maybe the phones are better. I mean, I know microphones that are in, sort of, I'm an iPhone person, so I only know iPhones, but I know the microphones in iPhones have greatly improved over the last sort of couple of years and that kind of thing. So maybe it's just that base level equipment is better and it's creating better audio. I don't know, but I think the average audio quality of a brand new podcast is a lot higher than it used to be, which is awesome. That's definitely something I've noticed as well.
I think this is a good time that we should talk about some of the changes that you and your show and my show have kind of gone through throughout this process. Because, yeah, when we talk about going back to episode 1, 2, 3, 10, 20, I don't even know.
98.
There's been a lot of things that I know that I've changed and I know that you have changed as well. So
everything.
Me too. Like, literally, I've changed everything. So why don't you share a little bit about what you had going on when you started and then what you do now?
Equipment-wise or process-wise or what? Everything?
All of the above.
So when I first started, I had got a mic. I'm like, yep, going to do this. Found this mic that plugged into my computer, like a USB mic. It was an ATR2020 USB Plus. I still have it. Completely the wrong kind of mic for podcasting. Had no idea at the time. It was a condenser mic, so it kind of, probably more designed for like singing and artists and designed for being used soundproof. You could hear dogs barking from 4 blocks over with that thing. It picked up every noise. Like, I reckon if the dog's belly rumbled three rooms over, yeah, that mic would have picked it up. So, yeah, it was an interesting experience trying to create some kind of soundproofing around that thing just so that it could actually be usable. Anyway, so I probably had that for the first, I don't know, guess maybe 10 episodes before I went, nah, this isn't cutting it. So upgraded to I actually ended up getting two mics at the same time. I did a major overhaul of my equipment. I bought a Zoom H5, which is a hardware recorder. I bought two mics. I don't know why. I still don't know why I bought two mics at the same time.
Because you love your tech gadgets.
Because I'm a tech geek, yep. so I bought a Shure SM58, which is probably the most popular and well-used microphone in the world. If you've ever watched a live concert, chances are they're using an SM58. They are practically bullet, and I obviously didn't realize at the time when I ordered it, but I actually really like the sound that it gave my voice. So I tried to use that a fair bit. The issue was that it also wasn't USB, so it had to go into the H5, and anyone who was Zooming with me during that period would have had crappy audio from me from like my webcam or something while I was recording my awesome audio into the H5. So apologies for that. But I also bought the trusty and the ever used by podcasters ATR2100, which you are currently speaking into on your end.
Yep.
And that was probably a good move, because then I could run good audio to the person I was talking to as well as record it on my end. And it's just, for the price, you can't beat it. It is a really excellent microphone. And I used that in phases between those two right up until this episode, actually. This is the first episode that I'm using a new microphone, which is an Aston Stealth, a large diaphragm dynamic microphone, which is, you know, tech speak for its fancy and sounds. So yeah, and my new hardware recorder, because my old H5, which was a phenomenal hardware recorder, loved it to bits, kind of died. So there's now the H5, or all the Zoom, different Zoom company to the one we're seeing each other on, but all of the H5, H6 are very much designed for music recording, whereas they have now brought out a range that are specific to podcasting. So I now have a Zoom P4, which is specific to podcasting, and so far all of the features that it contains are bang on exactly what I need. It's about fraction of the price of the old H5, which is even better because everybody loves something that's awesome and cheap. Yeah, so that's my current setup, is this Aston Stealth and the Zoom P4. And hopefully, one of the things that we talked about again when I got this stuff on it, when I ordered this stuff, but you were saying like no one's going to notice. And I'm like, that's okay, because I don't buy this stuff for other people. It's for me. And I can notice. I notice a big difference if I put clips side by side or even without. Because I edit it, I think I'm so sort of attuned to noises and how my voice sounds and that kind of thing. And I know many of people who listen probably have never met me in person, but this microphone to me puts out the most accurate version of what my voice actually sounds like in real life. Which to most people, who cares? Like, as long as you sound decent and you're getting your message across. But to a tech nerd like me, that's cool. So yeah. On terms of the actual show itself, I feel like it's mainly sort of my interview technique that's probably improved and made the show a little bit more efficient. Yes, it still is long, but that's how I like podcast. I like long form podcasts. It was always designed to be a long form podcast. I feel like I get a lot more value out of having these sort of long-form conversations, because the conversation can go wherever it goes. It's not structured. I'm not forcing it anywhere. It just goes where it goes, and then that's when I get the most value out of it. So it's always been a long-form podcast. I did a slight update on my intro maybe 5 or 6 episodes ago. Those who have been listening for at least that long will probably have heard that previously I used to record an individual intro over the music for every episode. And the reason I changed that was purely for efficiency. It makes my workflow a lot quicker doing a short intro beforehand, playing a standard clip with the music, introducing the show, etc., and then getting straight into the episode. So that's probably the main things that have changed. I'm a creature of habit in a lot of cases. So, yeah. Oh, the other thing would be just the software and stuff that I get access to and I learn. So my graphics are definitely very different to when I first started. And that's purely
you and me both.
Yeah, and that's purely and simply because, oh, look, I learned this new toy. Let's use this and see what I can do with it. So, yeah, it's a Photoshop variant that I use. It's a Mac one called Pixelmator Pro that I use for a lot of it. I use Canva for some stuff, but it just creates higher quality images and a more consistent. I think that's the one thing I've probably been aiming for in the last at least 12 months is a more consistent graphic as opposed to before where it was just like, whatever.
Just going to throw whatever I find out there.
Pretty much. That's how it worked in a lot of cases. It was like, oh, I got to post this episode. Oh, wait, I don't have a picture. What can I find? So what about you? What's changed since you've started?
Everything.
Everything. Good.
Honestly, everything has changed. I think starting with kind of the tech gadget side, as you mentioned, yes, I record on the ATR 2100. That is not what I started on. I started on a $20 quote unquote podcasting mic.
I remember it.
And oh gosh, if you go back and you listen, and I actually think mine switched somewhere between episode 10 and episode 20. I can't remember because, you know, I have so many recorded on that mic to begin with. But yeah. You can definitely tell the difference from the first mic now moving on to this mic. And I'm absolutely obsessed with this mic. I have switched up from just using a basic mic stand to using a boom arm, which has completely revolutionized my sound because I tend to do a lot with my hands and bumping the table and all this kind of stuff. And when you have a basic mic stand, it picks up everything. When you have a boom arm that lifts the mic up off the table, I mean, as I'm talking right now, I'm able to kind of move my hands around and it's not going to bump my mic. I've also upgraded a couple other components to the actual setup that have also helped with the sound quality and the bumps and the clicks and all of that kind of stuff.
The shock mount.
Yes, the shock mount. I have switched up my recording platforms numerous times. So when I originally started, I was using Google Hangouts. Then I started using Skype with Ecamm Recorder. And then I switched to Zoom. I'm trying to think if there was anything else in between.
Didn't you use Zencaster for a bit?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you never
I've never
that?
Used it as a host. I've been on other people's podcasts that use it, but yep. I've never used it myself.
I used it once.
I don't like there's no video component. That's the only thing.
Yeah. But
you can run Zoom and run Zencaster, and I have done that before. So I've switched that up. I upgraded my computer about a year ago because my old computer could not handle all the editing that I was doing, and it was taking me hours longer because it literally would just freeze or it would shut down. So I had to upgrade my computer to be able to handle the processing of editing and all of that type of stuff. And I would also agree, I think I've really been focused a lot on my overall systems and my overall processes of just trying to make it as efficient as possible. And I know I'm not the queen of that by any means, but I've really tried to formulate a process. So it's not just like, oh, what do I need to do next? Like, I know exactly I do this first, then I do this, then I do that. And it's all just kind of streamlined. I created very specific templates for my preparation/show notes. So I have like this Google Doc and there's a template on there and it's how I prepare for my episodes. And then it's very easy for me to just cut and paste and delete and all this kind of stuff and adjust it for my show notes, which is fantastic. And then if anything changes within my process, I add it in there. So then I know, oh, I need to add this or I need to delete this. It goes into the template. So then for the next time, it's already there. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to remember it for the next time. Another thing that I started doing, oh gosh, I don't even know when I implemented that, but I set up like it's an interview form. So when I schedule with a guest, I actually have a pre-made form that gives details about the recording. It has a link where people can schedule directly with me. I started using Calendly. That's another thing that I switched up. It used to be, hey, what time can you do? Oh, I can do this time. Well, I can't do this time. What other time can you do? Now they have access to my calendar and they can just see when I'm available and they can schedule when I'm asleep. And it's beautiful. And I love it. I use it for my professional work and my clinical work as well. But it also has been a complete game changer in podcasting. Oh, going back to the interview form. So it has the schedule. It has basic information about the recording. Please use a headset. If you have a mic, that would be best. If not, just use a headset. It's going to last about this amount of time. And then it also has a portion for my guests to fill out to include their name, their professional initials, a spot for them to upload a picture. So when I go to promote the episode, I already have a picture. And there's a few other things that I ask of them. So when I go to hit record, I have all the information that I need from my guest. And honestly, like I do that so I don't run the risk of spelling their name wrong or forgetting an initial or something like that. It's just like all these little things that take time. And I don't like it when people say my name wrong or if they spelled it wrong. So it's like, if you put it in wrong in the form, it's going to come out wrong. But as long as you're the one kind of controlling it, it has just made it so much easier. And I'm not hunting down like, what initials do they want in this and all this kind of stuff. So another thing that, gosh, about 9 or 10 months ago, I did kind of an overhaul on the format of my show. In the beginning, I started out as completely all interviews. And I kind of got to the point where I wanted to share some of, like going back, I mentioned this earlier, I wanted to share some of my own takeaways. I wanted to share some of these things that were really resonating within the interviews that I was having, but I didn't want to add it to the end of my episodes because I felt like they were already long enough. And I didn't want to influence the way that they were thinking about the episode at that time. So what I ended up doing is kind of getting on this alternating schedule where 1 week I'll put out an interview, 1 week I'll put out a monologue where I'm discussing that previous interview and any of the takeaways that I had. Then I'll do another interview, I'll do another monologue. And then kind of one of the bigger things that I did was I started integrating, I call them community episodes. So I basically, every month I'll ask a specific question and then ask people in the community to chime in their answers of that question. So I've asked things like, what are your favorite continuing education units? How do you stay organized? What's your best piece of advice for a student that is in occupational therapy school right now? And then I compile all of these voicemails that I get from people in the community and throw that all into an episode. So it's a really kind of unique episode where I have a bunch of voicemails that I share. I also have another kind of fun thing that I do that's the lifer of the month, where I bring on somebody else from the community and get to know them a little bit better. And yeah, like, and so that's this whole other episode that I do once a month. And like I said in the beginning, I was only doing interviews to start. So this is a very kind of abrupt shift that I've done within the format of my shows. And then I guess, yeah, I redid my intro. I redid my outro, especially when I got the better mics. And yeah, graphics too. I've done some work on that. I mean, it's been kind of a constant.
It evolves.
Yes, everything. And I'm sure there's going to be something that I change even from when we record this episode and from when it comes out.
So what, in thinking about the stuff that you've upgraded, what are some things that you like or dislike in other OT podcasts? Not like naming name, but like types of things that you actually like in OT podcasts. What's your criteria to go, yeah, I'm going to listen to that one?
I think I'd say there's maybe three really important things for me. Going back, and we've already talked about this, audio quality is super, super important. There are very simple and basic things that you can do. And if you invest a little bit of time into figuring out audio and room treatment, you can do a lot of things and just make your recording sound pretty good without investing a lot of money. I mean, I'm talking pillows, blankets, rugs. If you can be in a carpeted room, like there's very basic things that you need to be able to do to make your audio quality at that kind of like minimal viable product right there. Like,
yep.
Really, like, yes, you could make it even better, but like get over the hump of just sounding like you're in a fish tank. So first of all, if it has bad audio quality, even if the content's really good, I'm probably turning it off. And I've had some that I've been really excited to listen to and I can't get past the audio quality. Maybe it's the editor in me. I'm not sure.
It gets distracted. It distracts it from, like, you kind of want to remove as many barriers to entry of people absorbing your content as possible. And unfortunately, if there's static or like it's clipping or, you know, it sounds, there's echo, there's reverb, anything like that, it distracts from the content. And maybe it's me, maybe, like you said, maybe it's the podcast editor. in me that thinks that. But also, like you said, like there's some, you don't need super fancy equipment to get good audio. Like you can get really good audio out of anything with the right tool. Like you can improve, obviously, if you're recording on a subway train, it's going to sound like you're recording on a subway train. But there's simple things that you can do. Make a pillow fort, I know, is one of your favorite ones.
Yep.
To improve the audio. Yeah, to improve the audio of any microphone that you're using, even if it is just your phone or your computer or whatever it is.
Or the headset that comes with your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they are surprisingly golden. I love them.
Yep. 100%. I think another one of the things that I really like is when I tune in for it to be about a topic, I hope that that's what they actually talk about. And a lot of times, and I know I've done it, I've done it in the past, and I've really tried to change this up. But when there's inside jokes or there's a lot of kind of like chit chat or like banter back and forth where they're not really talking about anything that is pertinent, like anything that is going to add value to my life, I kind of get bored, or I might just skip through that until they actually get to kind of the actionable or inspirational advice that I'm there to kind of hear. So
you must hate me then.
There are sometimes I'm like, all right, let's skip forward here, but you know,
that's
okay. Most of the time you're targeting it around their story and it's still applicable in some sense. But sometimes when people are talking about what they did the other day and I'm like, I don't really care, right? Like I didn't tune in for that. Like, thanks for sharing, but like let's kind of move on here.
I was gonna say, just building on the one you did just say then, like one of the things that I like is just like when I start listening, I don't need a 1,000-minute intro. Like the sooner it actually gets to you talking to the person, and like there's a lot of podcasts out there now, like the bigger podcasts that like have 10 minutes of ads before you even hear an intro. I skip through that every single time. Like I'm not going to sit there and listen to you try and sell Manscaped or Squarespace stuff. Like I don't care. The sooner you get to something worth listening to, the better. So for example, with Occupied, like I usually for the 90% of the interviews that I do, I start with the same question. I don't even put the actual question in there. Like, well, by the time it finishes the song and gets into the episode, you're just straight away hearing the person's answer. People know what the question is. And if you can't, the answer's going to give it away. So there's no, I even cut that out. I don't want the first thing that people hear to be me. Mm-hmm. They hear enough of me. They listen for whoever I'm bringing on or whatever the topic is, not for me. So I try and save them a little bit of that by cutting that question out at the start.
Yeah, I think the kind of last thing that stands out to me in other shows is when I can tell that there is an ounce of editing that has happened. Now, I'm not saying it has to be completely polished and no crutch words and no dead space and no bumps and no clicks and none of that. But there is kind of, and I'll talk like globally in the podcasting space, there are a lot of people that think, oh, I just want to go off the cuff and I just want to be real and I don't want to edit it. And while a portion of that is true, we really want to hear the raw and honest conversations, but there is an ounce of editing that you can do to remove some of the fluff that doesn't need to be in there. Or if myself, I was going to blame my guest. I'm not even going to blame a guest. I'm going to blame myself. If I make a mistake and I forget what I'm going to say or something like that, it doesn't necessarily need to be in there because it doesn't really add value. Now, if you listen to my show and you stick around towards the end, there are some funny things that I put in at the very, very end of my show that I don't really highlight or anything like that. So I'm not saying that these things don't happen, but I like when a show and when a host shows to me that they put in a little bit of energy in the post-production of it to make sure that the quality that they're putting out is decent. And that just shows that it's not just, oh, I don't really care, I'm just going to throw it up there and people can listen if they want. It's like, no, I'm actually really proud of this and I'm going to try the best to make it. Again, it goes back to the audio. It goes back to that quality piece. Content, audio, packaging it up and putting it out there. For me, that is really important.
It's amazing that we are the same people. How did that happen? No, I do agree. And I think a lot of people probably, again, I was thinking, I feel attacked. But I think.
No, you know.
No, I know. No, but like I, that does happen to me because I process things while I'm talking, which is even if I'm talking to someone else, like just in everyday life, I talk out loud to process things. And that's how I learn is by processing things and talking at the same time kind of thing. So sometimes I do either lose track or get delayed and that kind of stuff because I'm processing. And for a lot of that stuff, I will cut it out. But there are times when I don't, which is probably what people are going to think of after you've said that. But the reason that I don't is often during those pauses, the topic will change or something will happen. And if I cut that out, then it's just jumping from topic to topic and it doesn't make any sense. So I kind of leave that in there to try and show that, like, this is where the conversation went, or this was a turning point in the conversation, was me losing my place or bringing something else up. But I can guarantee you there are other times that there might be a few in there, but there's a lot more that aren't. So I am one of those people that you were talking about before that wants that sort of really authentic conversation. I can definitely understand, like, cutting out trash that doesn't need to be in there. But for me, like I said, sometimes I feel like if I cut out some stuff or if I cut out too much, it then kind of creates this like falsity to my conversation style, because my conversation style is kind of very flowy. I don't tend to like jumps to different topics. If I start cutting things out, it then becomes big jumps to other topics for me. Whereas I know other people that have a list of topics or a very sort of, not very structured, but have some structure to what they're doing, it's not as uncommon for them to make bigger jumps. Whereas for me, I like build on topics and they're very usually, they lead into each other very closely usually. There are definitely conversations that sort of bounce all over the place, I can guarantee you that. But for the most part, my learning style and my conversation style is very much, I don't know what you'd call it. It doesn't jump around much. It doesn't jump around a lot. It's wherever the conversation goes, it goes. But I build off, the last topic came off the previous topic and the next topic comes off the previous topic, etc. It seems to, I don't know, I try and get it to flow because that's just how I am in real life anyway. So very different approaches and different perspectives. And it's I think the other important thing is we're not saying this is the only way to do it. You can do it however you want. If you want, you could literally make a podcast of just ahs and ums if you think that's going to be valuable and that's what you want to do. Like, go for your life. That's completely up to you. And I think that was one of the things at the start when I first started was, what's my style? Like, I don't know. Like, I, you know, you can copy other podcasts, and we have done that for the roundtable. We kind of stole that idea from another podcast. However, it's important that you find your own groove, and you know what you're comfortable with, what you're willing to put in. Is this, you know, something that you're going to try and pursue as work, or is it just a hobby, or what is it to you? What is it? It comes back to like what we're talking about earlier about what is its mission you want to do with it, and do that, whatever it is that you decide, do that to the absolute best of your ability, and you're going to have an awesome podcast.
I think this is a perfect segue into what's next.
Yeah.
Where are we going from here? We've made it to episode 100. We've made it through almost episode 100 here. What's next in the land of occupied?
Oh, I got asked this the other day. New Year's resolutions for the podcast. I'm like, no, I don't do resolutions. I just put an episode out about that. I want to essentially continue the process. Keep learning, keep improving. I want to try and get, I've got a few big guests that I am chasing up that I want to nail down this year. Unfortunately, last year was a bit of a spanner in the works for some people, and some of the people I thought I was going to be able to get on last year weren't able to make it. So hopefully I'll track them down for this 2021. I'm going to try and not buy any more gear because I don't need it, but we'll see how that goes, because I'm pretty sure I said that last year as well. No, I didn't say that last year. Maybe it was the year before. Anyway, I'm going to try not to. I'm pretty happy with the gear that I've got now, so hopefully that's it for a long while, because it's an expensive hobby if you want it to be, or it can be a very cheap hobby if you want it to be. And unfortunately, I chose the former. So, yeah. What else? I don't know. I think I kind of want to just keep going. I'm enjoying, I think your mojo kind of waxes and wanes sometimes, and I'm very much have got it back now after a couple of months of it being a bit flat. And I think that was purely due to, you know, everything else that was going on in 2020. So very much got it back now, and I'm recording like a madman at the moment. I've got some amazing people that I've been chatting to last week. Obviously, we've kicked this milestone off for the start of the year, which is epic. And yeah, I see a lot of podcasters that try and do like, oh, I want to hit this many downloads. But to me, I'm like, that doesn't worry me. That's one, it's out of my control. It's got nothing, it's nothing I can do. But I want to keep trying to improve Occupied and make it as good as I can within, you know, with the resources that I have, including time, which is usually the biggest resource. But yeah, that's kind of what I want to do, is just keep growing, keep evolving. What about OT for Life? What's on the horizon for 2021?
I 100% agree. I think first and foremost, I just want to continue. I want to continue working on my processes, continue trying to make it as efficient as possible and save as much time as I can on this, because I still spend way more time than I probably should. admitting that. But yeah, I think really just continuing to improve my interviewing skills, continuing to improve my speaking skills for the monologue, continuing to improve my editing, like literally just continuing to improve, enter topic here. Like just, I wanted to continue to get better. I think I also want to continue, again, like it's a continuum. It's a thing that we're constantly working on, but I want to continue to expand into more OT topics and branch out and not be afraid to chat about things that I know nothing about, or maybe topics that I'm hesitant to talk about. I want to expand into different topics and really push myself out of my comfort zone and showcase really all that OT encompasses. And whether that's new and emerging practice areas or, you know, anything like that, I just want to continue to showcase the profession in, you know, to the best of my ability that I possibly can. I want to continue to connect with the community. I have met some of the most amazing people through starting this podcast. And I know there's a lot more people that are out there that I haven't even met yet. So continuing to make those connections and learn from people, continuing to learn about OT, continue to learn about myself. I mean, literally like everything we've talked about in this episode, I'm like, yeah, I want to continue that. And one of my big goals, I think, and this is not just for OT for Life, but really this is about the community, and this is about the OT podcast community, as well as just the OT community. I really want to continue to kind of promote the advancement of OT podcasts as a valuable learning tool. And by this, I mean, like, I hope that more people will start listening to OT podcasts. More people will know that we exist. A lot of people still don't know that OT podcasts exist out there. And the wealth of knowledge and information and inspiration that is already out there. And there's so much more that needs to be done, but there's so much that's already out there. And really, and this is kind of a big global goal here, but I'd love to see more recognition of OT podcasts in schools, in universities, in the state and national and international organizations. I'd love to see us as podcasters and as podcasts start to get some recognition there. And also, like, how cool would it be to have podcast episode or a series of episodes be used in academic courses as a part of the syllabus and all this kind of stuff? Like there's so much that I know that is out there, and there's so much good information and I see it, but I just don't think the recognition is quite there yet. And hopefully, and maybe this isn't even for like 2021, but like moving forward, just really getting OT on the map, OT podcasts on the map, and showing everything that we can really do.
I like it. I like it a lot. And it's something like I use them in the course that I teach. And the value is definitely there. And like you said, it's just a matter of introducing people to it, how it can be used, and letting that flag fly. But you also have another big thing happening in 2021, which your listeners will have heard just for this episode. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. Episode 99. If you haven't listened to it, that's when I officially announced the news.
Go back and listen to it. And if you haven't, then a massive congratulations from me, anyway, on the upcoming baby putt.
The new lifer.
The new life. Hey, yeah. I was going to say, how can you integrate that? The new lifer. I like it. Yep. And another new chapter in your personal life that I'm sure will definitely have an impact on your podcast, and we'll definitely hear about some of it, I'm sure, going through that change of role. But that's super exciting, dude. I'm stoked.
Thank you. I am excited too. It's been a process, and it's funny because it already has affected my podcasting and my brain and how I process and how I forget things. So it's already been there. And we were kind of joking before we started recording today, but I was like, wait, hold on. Like, I was getting some really big kicks and they were really distracting. And I was like, I can't think at the moment. So yes, the new little OT for lifer is already, it's already making a presence, even though it will not be here until April of 2021. And it will be my first. And it's definitely going to be a learning process, just like what we've talked about today in the process of podcasting and being an OT and now stepping into a new role of being an OT mom here.
Very exciting, and I'm super keen to follow along. I think you actually did really well, because obviously, like, we're friends I've known for a little while, but I think you did really well of hiding it. Because I know you do a lot of Instagram stories and stuff with your movement challenges and that sort of stuff, and I knew what I was looking for, and I'd see very conveniently placed, like, GIFs and all that kind of stuff to hide the baby bump. Yeah, it was very entertaining for me from that side of it, saying, how is she going to do it this time? Especially when it was like a yoga challenge or something and you're like stretching, yep. And there was like very convenient images and stuff like over that area. And it's like, I would find that almost fun, like finding ways to try and hide it.
I've had so many people that they've already known and they're like, dude, that was good what you just did right there. Like, oh, I see where you put that text, or I see how you changed. Like, actually, I haven't posted it today, but the one that I did today, I just altered the video, the angle of the video, just enough so my arm is actually in front of my stomach. And so you can't tell. So I've been very creative, and it's not so much that I'm hiding it, but it has become a game. It's actually been really fun, but more just, I don't know, like, and this might just be kind of another kind of topic, but being a podcaster, being on social media, we share a lot of our lives out there. And this was something that I really wanted to make sure that my close friends, my close family members, like the people that are really in my close circle, that I was able to tell everybody. And I knew the second that it got on social media, other people would find out. And I was just like, I really just wanted to make sure that everybody within that close realm found out first before they found out about it on social media. So, and then it just became this fun game of like, I wonder how long I could actually go before people are going to notice.
I wonder how old the kid could be before people found out that I had one.
Yeah, exactly.
What's that crying? Oh, it's the cat. Come
on. Oh, it's my ringtone.
Yeah. Why won't your ringtone stop? God, tell that person to stop ringing. Nah, that's awesome, dude. I'm really looking forward to it and excited for your upcoming change. I was going to say challenge, but kind of a challenge.
Adventure.
But adventure. That's probably a better word.
Yeah, I'll keep you posted.
No doubt. So that's it. Episode 100.
Check.
Tick. On the way to 200 next.
We did it. I said at the beginning, I can't believe it. And now we're here. I still can't believe it. It's crazy. It is such a milestone. And I am so incredibly proud of both of us for overcoming a lot of things, learning a lot along the way, even though we still have a lot to go. But we're here and we're going to continue. We're going to continue to learn. We're going to continue to support each other and support other OT podcasters and other OT practitioners and students throughout the work that we're doing. And yeah, I'm just excited. I'm excited for the future. I'm excited to see what's going to happen and all that's going to come in 2021 and beyond.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you like what you hear, here are three easy ways you can help support the show. 1. Head over to otforlife.com to find out more about any resources discussed on the show. Remember, that's OT, the number 4, LYFE.com. 2, share the podcast with a friend, colleague, or anyone interested in occupational therapy. 3, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. And while you're there, be sure to leave a review saying how much you love the show. Thanks again. I'll catch you next time, OT for Lifers.
What's next? What are we doing next?
Do you want to go to learn, or do you want to do, what was the one that you said before? What was the hardest part? What we've learned.
They're probably going to be similar, those two. I'm just happy to go down the list for now. And if there's any that we've already covered when we get to them, we'll just skip them.
Okay, cool. I'll ask this one. What would you say, Brock, is one of the, I'm going to start that over. You're going to have to deal with me on this one.
As long as you know how to say yeah, your own name.
Well, hey, I've been on shows and they pronounce my name wrong. And I'm like, you could have just asked me. That's all my guess. If you've been on my show, you know, I ask you, even if you have a simple name and it's very straightforward, I ask you,
Ross, is this me?
How you pronounce it? You have a podcast. I can go back and listen and be like, oh, that's how he says it.
I say a lot of things that you don't understand, though.
True.
In this conversation just before about Garage.
Yes.
Apparently, I say it weird.
Garage. Yeah. There was one more thing because I said 3. What was the last thing? Hold on. Give me a second. What was the last thing I was going to say?